Hello friends, Denny Pruto here to talk to you a little bit about your response to the gospel, or as I have on the whiteboard, the biblical response to the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a message we proclaim. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts the gospel in a nutshell in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Three vital elements to this message of the gospel: that Christ died for our sins, and that he did so according to the predictions of Scripture. That Christ died as a perfect sacrifice for sin. He paid the penalty due to us for our sins. We are due the death penalty for sin. And Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty due to us for our sins. And as Paul says, he did so in accordance with the predictions of Scripture. And then he was buried. That is, he certainly did die. There is no doubt that this is the case. He died for sins on behalf of sinners in their place. And he paid for their sins. He did die. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. Again, the Scriptures predicted that Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead. And this resurrection proves that his sacrifice is indeed an adequate payment for sin, and that his sacrifice is accepted by God the Father as an adequate sacrifice, an adequate payment for your sins. And so now, with this message of the gospel, how do you respond to the gospel? You see, this is the vital question. There is, on one hand, the message of the gospel, and on the other hand, the response, the proper response to the message of the gospel, or the biblical response to the gospel. And as I have it on the whiteboard, there is a twofold biblical response. You become a convert, first of all. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we see that there are two parts to becoming a convert. Listen to what Mark says about Jesus and the preaching of Jesus. "Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God." So Jesus came preaching this gospel. And what is the response to the gospel? Saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And so there are two parts to the proper response to the gospel: repentance and faith. Repent and believe the gospel. This is what Jesus says. True conversion consists of these two sides: repentance and faith. As a coin has two sides, and it's one coin having two sides, so it is that conversion, being one thing, has two sides or two parts: repentance and faith. If you look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Apostle Peter responds to those who ask him what they must do. And Peter says, "Therefore repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away." Repent of your sins and turn away from your sins. There's also the aspect of faith in this text. That is, repent, turn away from that which is contrary to the will of God, that which is contrary to the commandments of God. Turn away from that which is evil and return, turn back to God. verse 19 again. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Repentance is a vital act in which you turn away from that which you know is evil by way of conviction. God has convicted you of that which is evil, and you turn back to God. And this is the way of forgiveness, Peter says. Therefore, repent and return that your sins may be wiped away. That's one side of conversion. And the second side of conversion is faith in Jesus Christ. When Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi, and an earthquake came, and the jailer became frightened, he wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. And he asked this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So here is the response to the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You must repent of sins and trust Christ. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you see, a vital part of the gospel, the resurrection, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In other words, trust Christ. Belief must come from the heart, and it is expressed then with the mouth. You make confession of Jesus Christ, and you ask God to forgive you. You turn away from sin, you repent of sin, and you turn to Christ. The two sides of true conversion, repentance and faith. This is part of the biblical response to the gospel. And I call this the response to the gospel in the narrow sense. In the narrow sense, you respond by repentance and faith. But then, that's really not enough. There's a second part to the proper response to the gospel. You not only become a convert, you must become a disciple. Look, if you would, if you have your Bible there, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew and the Great Commission. You're probably familiar with the Great Commission. Listen to what the Great Commission says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's not sufficient to make converts. You must make disciples. It's not sufficient for you to become a convert. You must also become a disciple. And there are two parts, once again, to being a disciple. Listen again to what Jesus says. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So there are two things that are necessary to becoming a disciple. Baptism. Christ commands baptism. Go therefore, make disciples. How? Baptizing them. When converts are made, they ought to be baptized. That's the first step. And then the second step is teaching. Once baptized, then individuals sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Discipleship is like becoming an apprentice. In the olden times, an apprentice would attach himself to a master in order to learn a trade. And once the trade was learned by the master, the apprentice would go out and he would receive others into an apprenticeship and train them. This is similar to becoming a disciple. But think about this, friends. How long is the Christian apprenticeship? It's lifelong. How long are you an apprentice? You are an apprentice to the Lord Jesus Christ for your entire life. You enter into that apprenticeship upon baptism, and then the teaching begins, and that teaching goes on for your entire life, and you are to learn all that Christ commanded, and all that Christ commanded is recorded for you in the Bible from Genesis through the book of Revelation, the entire Bible. And so you spend a lifetime then learning about Jesus Christ from all parts of the Bible. Becoming a disciple then has two parts, baptism and teaching. Again, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 41. Chapter 2 and verse 41. Here is Peter again speaking about the proper response to the gospel. So then, those who had been received, had received his word, were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Well, Luke is actually recording what had taken place as a result of the preaching of the apostles. Individuals were baptized. So then, those who received his word, that is, became converts, were baptized. See? They followed Christ's command. They baptized. So then, those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 were added. To what were they added? They were added to the visible body of believers. Amazing. Baptism is the doorway into the visible church. And so baptism means coming into fellowship with the visible body of believers, becoming a member of the visible church. A proper response to the gospel, the biblical response to the gospel, means taking the visible church seriously and becoming a member of the visible church. Then the teaching begins. Teaching then begins. Here again, listen to the book of Acts. Here we turn to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The gospel has now gone forth north from Jerusalem to Antioch. And Paul comes to Antioch to teach. And he does so because Barnabas goes and seeks him out, and the two of them then come back to Antioch and teach in Antioch. And listen to what it says, verse 26. And when he had found him, that is, when Barnabas had found Paul, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church. Well, if there was a church there, this means that there were converts who were baptized into a visible body. A visible body was formed by way of baptism. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And so they spent time teaching those who had been baptized and were part of this visible body of the church. But now listen to the way Luke describes the situation. And for the entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples, you see, those who were baptized and taught are called disciples. And the disciples, they're no longer just converts, but they are disciples. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This is the startling thing. This is the significant thing. It's not just converts who are called Christians. I'll not deny that a convert to Christ, one who has truly repented of their sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, is a Christian. But to be recognized as a Christian means, at least in large measure, that you align yourself with the visible church by baptism and are recognized as a disciple. And as I have at the bottom here of my outline, converts who become disciples are called Christians. In other words, it's converts who are recognized as disciples, that is, part of the visible church, who meet with the visible church, who are viewed by the outside world as Christians. This is part of the distinguishing mark and the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian person. So, do we do in response to the gospel? We become converts. We repent of sin and trust in Jesus Christ. This is the response of to the gospel in the narrow sense. And in the more broad sense, we become disciples. We are baptized and become members of the visible church. And then we spend time being taught. And it is thus being a disciple, a member of the visible body of Christ, that we are recognized as Christians. This, friends, is this twofold response is the biblical response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.